I mentioned Bitcoin because, as it turns out, blockchain technology is the very thing that's behind Bitcoin. The blockchains actually use distributed networks and cryptographic proofs to create secure, virtually immutable digital records. Financial transactions, contracts, and documents verifying ownership can all be stored on blockchains. The technology has applications beyond finance, too. Blockchains could help fight fraud and corruption by protecting electronic voting systems, for example. Countries like Sweden and Georgia are already using them to secure government records and record land ownership. A 2015 McKinsey survey predicted that the first government will collect taxes using blockchain technology by 2023, a short period from now. But while blockchains are already in use, applying them more broadly could profoundly disrupt existing industries in some unpredictable ways. So whether the technology helps reduce poverty will depend on exactly how it's rolled out. And if the world's poorest are to feel any benefit, they'll need access to the internet first. What are we doing to get that to happen? I mean, major access to the internet. And not just a small pocket of the world's poor here and another small pocket of the world's poor there. We need to be doing this for the world's poor. And think about it. We hear so often about difficulty when it comes to truly including rural America. And so I mention that because I want us to really care about this. I want us to really be concerned about whether or not the poorest, the world's poorest in the various parts of the world will be helped along with others. If indeed this blockchain technology really blows up and is used for the purpose of helping the poor escape poverty. All right, how about this one? Sourcing clean energy from seawater. Nuclear reactions release immense amounts of energy. Uranium undergoing fission, the type of reaction that drives today's nuclear power plants, releases about 2.7 million times more energy per gram than coal. But fission reactors come with dangerous baggage, radioactive waste, and a small but serious risk of nuclear meltdown. Fortunately, we don't have many nuclear meltdowns, but when we do have them, the effects are long-lasting. Think about Chernobyl and how we are still reading about the impact that that meltdown has had on that area. In contrast, fusion reactions. I said fission the first time. F-I-S-S-I-O-N. Fission reactions is what I said first. Now I'm talking fusion reactions. F-U-S-I-O-N. They're safe and produce virtually no radioactive waste. Their main waste product, which is helium, is a non-toxic gas that's used in everything from party balloons to the Large Hadron Collider. And fusion fuels are easy to find. Deuterium is abundant in seawater. Tritium can be made from lithium. In a fusion reaction, these fuels produce about four times as much energy per gram as uranium fission, or 11.3 million times as much as burning coal. A single gram would produce enough heat to boil the water in a swimming pool. 1 gram. Enough heat to boil the water in a swimming pool. Ladies and gentlemen, that is energy. The trouble is, we still can't get fusion to work for us. Fusion reactions require sustained temperatures of millions of degrees Celsius. Research has been going on for decades, but as of 2017, it takes more energy to get the reaction going and to keep it going than you get out of it. That means right now, there's no viable way of generating electricity. There's an old joke that fusion power is only 30 years away and always will be. But this could change. Important technical challenges have been solved in the last 20 years, and investment continues to pour in to fusion technology, lured by the tantalizing prospect of a virtually inexhaustible clean energy supply. Clean energy supply. Virtually inexhaustible. 35 countries are collaborating to build the world's largest Tacomec, which is a magnetic fusion device, in southern France. And it's going to be trying to produce positive net energy, where they're going to try to produce positive net energy for experimental purposes by the end of 2025. But it will be several years longer until this energy can be harnessed for the purpose of powering our homes, cars, and offices. Okay, maybe it's okay, though, to remain hopeful about that. All right, what about this one? Mining the skies for resources. Asteroid mining. It might sound like something that's way out there, but several companies take it very seriously, including Planetary Resources, which is a company set up in 2012, whose advisors include film director James Cameron and Google co-founder Larry Page. Many asteroids, they say, in our solar system are rich sources of valuable minerals such as platinum and gold. They can also contain water, which could be collected to make rocket fuel and supply future space-based communities. Are you willing to go? Hang out, vacation on a space-based community. Mining the skies is an audacious feat of engineering. Accessing small rocky bodies orbiting tens of millions of kilometers from Earth, landing robotic miners on them, and transporting back the ore, as you can imagine, would be very challenging and expensive. To home in on the most valuable asteroids, we'll first need to send up fleets of small prospecting probes. All right, how about this idea? A 2012 Caltech study put the cost of capturing and returning a single 500-ton near-Earth asteroid to high lunar orbit at around $2.6 billion. By the way, 500-ton, that's about 23 feet. A lot of money, but not an unimaginable amount, $2.6 million. And the potential rewards are literally astronomical. One platinum-rich asteroid across could supply around 175 times the world's current platinum output, or more than the world's entire reserves of platinum group metals, according to MIT's Mission 2016 project. May not be as far away from mining asteroids as you might think. Chris Lewicki, who's CEO of Planetary Resources, expects that we'll be extracting water from asteroids on a commercial scale by the middle of the 2020s. What do you think about all that, ladies and gentlemen? All right, that does it for Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. for today. I want to encourage you, think about how you can let some of life's best moments come through you. Till next time.